Chevy Summer Drive is back. Right now, get up to $5,000 cash back on a 2004 Chevy. Take delivery by August 31st. See your dealer at GM.com for details.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Bobby Dooley is with you. Now, what is the name of the lady that we're talking about, Bobby?
Yes, her name is Courtney Christopher Sue, and she, her husband, Sean, and she moved into Western Estates about 6 months ago.
All right. Now, this lady has something to do with your Summertacular, which I know is an annual fundraising event?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me about it.
We're raising money again this year for children's cancer research. This will be our fifth annual. It includes a fashion show and a buffet dinner, and there are a great many women I want to thank for being involved. Janice Gurley, who's with our steering committee. It was extremely difficult this year to organize. It's funny, though, how some people who say they want to help, you wind up making things difficult. So you want to say to some people, just donate with your money, but your personal involvement makes it very difficult for the rest of us.
All right, well, this gets around to this lady, right? But donating with money instead of time?
Instead of your time, especially if, as in our case, there is a new resident who immediately, as I mentioned, Courtney moved in, and I think I can say her name because we were able to explain to her what we wanted as opposed to so many people, it's me. And
all right, tell me about her. And what is the problem with this woman and the fundraising and people like this when you're trying to raise money?
Well, Courtney and her husband moved into one of our new townhomes that we have along Hydrangea. And I guess the thing that put me off and a lot of the other gals was immediately she's at our planning meetings and intimating that she wants to be one of the models in our fashion show.
Right.
And understand, I'm the Homeowners Association president and the PTO president. So it is understood that I am one of the models, not to say that I'm entitled, but I am one of the models, and as long as I'm the Homeowners Association president, that will be the status quo. We also have Phyllis Aubrey. We have Janice Gurley. I mean, many women who've been modeling, and she's new in our neighborhood. Okay, so we haven't been able to really we can't put our finger on her yet. And
So in other words, she's volunteering her time, right?
Well, I had to take her aside, and I basically said to her, this fashion show and the Summertacular have raised over 5 years about $250,000, and right now I don't know what it is that you're trying to prove, you know? And
what do you mean by that, when you're talking to the lady?
Yes.
What do you mean trying to prove?
Well, right now we have her... We have Courtney on a wait-and-see basis. We want to take a look at her. And
well, when you organize a charity fashion show, and this is one of the ladies, a resident of your neighborhood, I mean, all she wants to do is model in it. Is that right?
Let me explain.
All right, but am I getting anything wrong?
You're not getting anything wrong, but let me explain how our Summertacular worked. When Steve and I moved in 5 years ago, we moved into the Magnolia phase. The first thing we did is we got Stu Bernard off the... We got him off the Homeowners Association board. He was... you know, he was pushing 60, he didn't have any contemporary ideas. Steve and I are a little bit with it. We get it. And I don't think Stu really got it anymore. And from there, we began socializing with couples in the community who shared our interests. And over the years, we become very close. And we have things now at Western Estates exactly as they should be. And now comes along this Sean and Courtney Christopher, you know, who's apparently, he's a doctor, and she wants to push her way into our group. And
well, you said Stu Bernard was the president, he was pushing 60 of the Homeowners Association, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And you got him out of there. You and Steve have more contemporary ideas, so you organize this Summertacular, now comes a new resident, and you say she wants to push her way into your group.
Well, you know, so when...
Is she not attractive enough to be in this fashion show, is that it?
No, it's that I get the feeling she wants to be a little bit of a show-off. There are a lot of very successful men in our community. My husband, Steve, is one of them, and he's with me tonight. And when you get... When you get these young wives who immediately want to be a part of it...
All right, hold on for a minute. I want to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, as we talk to Bobby Dooley about the forthcoming Summertacular, which raises a lot of money, as you indicated, for children's cancer research. And I think, you know, Ms. Dooley, I want to be very clear, I very much support this mission.
Well, I think it's one thing to say you support it, though, but I think it's another thing when you question the decision-making of our Summertacular Steering Committee.
I'm not questioning it. I want to know why it is you are not allowing that. You got this lady who has moved into the neighborhood, you know.
She's a little bit of a show-off, and it's a wait-and-see.
Well, how is she a show-off?
Well, she is young. She's very attractive, and she knows it. Okay. She is one of these people who's got all these, why don't we do this and why don't we do that? And I looked at her and I said, I didn't say this to her, but I'm thinking, are you for real? And I just have, like I said, it's a wait-and-see situation.
All right, let me interrupt you. This woman, is she a flirt with the other men? Is that what you're saying? Is she flirting with husbands? Is she?
What I'm saying is this, and unless you live here, let me explain something. So we live in a gated community. All right? We have 24-hour security. So we're different from most of the neighborhoods that your listeners are familiar with. We live in a gated community, and we have very strict and very workable CCNRs. And unless you live in a gated community, it's hard to understand. But what we're going to do, because I don't want this to be about what we're not going to do, here's what we're going to do. We've asked Courtney to be on cleanup. We want her to help serve at the buffet and do those things. And
what about her being in your fashion show?
Well, you have to go slowly with these people, because what if you bring her into your group and you find out that she's embarrassing to be with and she's gross? And
what do you mean by embarrassing to be with? I got to tell you something, Ms. Dooley.
Well, if you'd allow me to explain.
Well, I am allowing you to explain, but yet she's embarrassing to be with. She's gross. She flirts with the men.
We have her on a wait and see. I don't like it when a lot of these women in our community assume they can immediately bond with me. That's all I'm saying.
And all right, well, this is a personal thing with you?
I'm the Homeowners Association president, so yes, it is very personal. And by the way, Phil, I'm not stuck up. I'm not an ego case. Okay, I want to really make that clear. I'm not an ego case. I was watching Dr. Phil McGraw. I'm very complex. And you know what happens? You meet a woman, and she immediately starts telling you about the child she has that has cancer, and it's embarrassing, and it's very needy. And
well, if you're doing a cancer fundraiser, which I believe your Summertacular is about, and this woman has a child that has cancer, do you understand that that is a very important asset? This lady is a resource?
When someone you don't know is being needy, that's all I'm saying. She's being very needy. It's a red flag.
And well, you call it needy, but
here's the thing. I want to promote our Summertacular. I want everyone to come and have a good time. I really don't want to talk about this the way we are. It's not about Courtney. It's about all of us. It's not about the Christopher couple. It's about the women who have volunteered. We have her on a wait and see. She's trying to be, you know, my friend and everything. And it's a little uncomfortable because, you know, like I said, you know, I'm looking at her and she's going, can I be a model? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, are you for real? So these are the things, you know, that I'm
well, I don't understand why you have.
Here's the point.
No. Bobby, let me say this, because you've been attempting to make a point.
Phil, I've been doing this for 5 years.
I know you've been doing it for 5 years, but you have a woman who has a child with cancer who's volunteering, and
here is the point I'm trying to make.
I'm trying to give you the opportunity, and you haven't made a point.
Well, if you'll give me this moment.
All right.
You don't come into a gated community as a new resident and think you're going to bond right away with women who have been working on the Summertacular as long as we have.
Even though she's got a kid with cancer.
Yes, because she has a child that has cancer, but I have networked with a lot of the different charities. So I think I know a little bit more about. I've worked on the Summertacular for 6 months. It would be a cold, you know, Phil, it's really a cold day in hell when Courtney Christopher starts to leech off of me.
All right, hold on for a minute. I don't know if I'm hearing this lady correctly. Am I detecting something personal? She's raising money. This is the fifth annual Summertacular where they raise money for children's cancer research. And a woman who's moved into the neighborhood, a brand new resident, has a daughter who has cancer. But Ms. Dooley doesn't want this woman getting too involved in the Summertacular. They got her on a wait and see. And it sounds to me like she doesn't want her being her friend because I don't know why. 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk here with Ms. Bobby Dooley, co-chair of the Summertacular that raises money for children's cancer research. And most of this conversation has been about this woman who wanted to be a volunteer in the group, and they don't want her involved. Are you hearing what I'm hearing, Janice, in there? It sounds to me like she's got this little organization that she doesn't want to have polluted by some new person. But I don't understand why. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. When the truth just isn't enough. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right. Bobby Dooley is with us from the Western States Homeowners Association. We're talking about the fifth annual Summertacular. And I know you want to promote the purpose of it to raise money for children's cancer research. And
that's really why I'm on, Phil. And I don't want this to be about Courtney. But if I could, I want to tell you a little story. When I was 15...
All right, but let me just give people our number, 1-800-449-8686, because what you do is a good thing.
But I want to tell you a story. When I was 15, I had a whole group of friends. We were very popular. I was fortunate. I was a very popular girl. A new girl moved to my school, and you know how some people are really eager to get to know you when you're popular? And it sort of scared me. And, like, maybe she was a stalker or something. And when Courtney walked into the room and said, I want to volunteer to be a model in the fashion show, I thought, oh, my God. You know, here's another kind of stalker mentality.
And wait, I just want to be clear. She volunteered to be a model in the...
Well, she said, I'd like to do something to help.
Okay, and you immediately assumed she's a stalker?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
First of all, you don't walk into a room full of women like myself and Janice Greeley without having a lot of chutzpah or the desire to be accepted. And so,
all right, hold on. I want to get to a phone call here. I don't mean to cut you off, Ms. Dooley, but I'm, you know what, I'm losing a little bit of patience here. And
well, Mr. Hendry, you're not in my position, and you really don't understand what it is that we do.
All right, never mind. Just hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Jackie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Hi,
I just want to
tell this mm-hmm. lady to mm-hmm. get off of it.
Mm-hmm.
She's insecure,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
you're just insecure.
Mm-hmm.
You're insecure about somebody new coming in, volunteering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you're getting flashbacks mm-hmm. about what happened to you long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get off of it.
Well, you say I'm insecure. Why would I be insecure when I'm the Homeowners Association president?
You know, lady, let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a big thing. I lived in a gated community.
But you don't live there now.
I sat on a board. It ain't shit. Oh, I'm sorry.
Watch your language there, Jackie.
I'm sorry.
Right?
But it ain't no big thing.
First of all, you don't live in a gated community any longer, so I don't know
how you qualify. Sweetheart, you need to get over it. It's
mm-hmm.
something that's in you, but you need to get over it, and this lady is trying to be nice.
The lady that you're talking about, this Courtney Christopher, is trying to be... What about seeing it that way?
I don't know if Jackie can relate to this. Do you know how when people really, really want to be your friend, and they're really needy and eager, it puts you off a little bit?
Oh, no. When people come off like that,
mm-hmm.
they just want to be mm-hmm. needed.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
But they
want to
be
wanted. They want to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Give the girl a break. She's trying. And you're not opening yourself to that. That's why I say you need to get off of it.
Well, look, I think she can be as popular as me, and she can be a part of our board. What's wrong with taking
it? It's not about popularity.
Mm-hmm.
You're making it like you're queen of the crop.
No. I'm simply saying...
You don't want anybody more attractive than you. I don't know if she is, but this lady is just trying to fit in.
Well,
she wants to help.
And I understand
that. She wants to help.
I understand. We just want to keep her at arm's length for a period of 6 to 8 months.
I think you're just being a snob.
No, I am not.
You
can ask my husband. I've never been a snob.
And you need to get off of it.
All right, hey, listen, Jackie.
Can I ask Jackie something? You said you sat on the board of what?
When I was living in a home, we had a gated community, an all condom.
Oh, Steve, stop it.
What did he say?
And nothing.
What did your husband say?
He said probably a rodeo.
Oh,
okay, well, that's rude. All right.
You know what? She needs to get off of it. And this lady...
She's watching Corky rope a heifer.
Please be quiet. I'm sorry, but...
You need to get off of it, sweetheart.
Jackie, thank you for your call. And
you're welcome.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. It is sounding snobbish, ma'am. And
well, I don't mean it to be snobbish, Phil. We're simply trying to keep her at arm's length. Look, is it snobbish to say I'd rather my children not go over to someone's home to play where there's an outbreak of measles? I don't think it is. So
in other words, this lady's like measles.
No, of course not.
Well, then that's what you just compared her to.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. Is it snobbish to think that you can't have your kids over to somebody's house because they got measles?
I'm simply saying that we don't want her to contaminate what we've already been able to accomplish.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Michael, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. This is Michael. I'll tell you what, I'm traveling from South Carolina into Nashville tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to be coming through Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing something.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I didn't believe it. At first, I thought maybe I'm hearing something that's a joke of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm hearing is perhaps one of the most pompous, self-righteous, a holier than thou would not be appropriate because there's nothing holy about the behavior I'm hearing. Lady, I don't know if you have any idea how much damage you have done.
Well, do you live in a gated community?
To your so-called summertacular.
Have you lived in a gated community?
Oh, but maybe I do, maybe I don't. But you know what, if I did, I would.
All right, let's go over to Mary. Hi, Mary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
What is the woman's name?
My name's Bobby. Hi.
What's your name?
My name's Bobby.
Bobby. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tape record yourself convincing other people that there isn't a good reason for you to embrace this woman into your group.
No, I certainly want to, after a wait-and-see period.
And the reason why I want you to tape record yourself
after
is because I don't think that you're really listening to how you're coming across to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is it's making everyone and everyone feel that you have an attitude toward this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you have it or not, maybe you need to listen to your words and then put yourself in their shoes and say, would I like someone talking to me this way?
Well, what am I saying? What am I saying that is so difficult to understand?
Well, we want to keep her at arm's length. We want to put her at a wait-and-see trial. That's not how you embrace a community.
What is wrong with that?
And you're talking about if the family had measles?
You don't embrace a community that way. Whether it's gated or not, you do not do that. When you have people who move into your neighborhood,
well, look, here's the problem.
The likelihood of people coming over and welcoming them, giving them brownies, saying, here's a dinner, welcome to our neighborhood, you're doing the opposite.
But Mary,
she has a daughter
with cancer, which means it's going to turn into a big downer.
All the more reason for you to embrace her.
No, she's going to have us doing 12-step programs.
All the more reason. No, I need for you to do this. I need for you to record yourself and then play it back and listen.
Right.
Because you know what's happening here?
Well, we're on the radio right now. And
you know what you have? Okay, I understand that. But you know what's happening here? Everybody that's listening to you, and this is a big broadcast.
All right, hold on, Mary. I got to take a break. Hold. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley with their summer tacular. One lady wants to be a part of it, and Bobby says, well, we got to keep her at arm's length until we put her through a probationary period. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8666.
Well, this lady is.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm back here with Bobby Dooley, who is putting on the 5th Annual Summertacular, and I'm trying to, you know, give you props for your good work, but there's a new lady in the community. You don't want her to be a part of this because she's trying to be a friend too quick. And Mary, you're making some good points. That's why I wanted to hold you over. Because you said Bobby should tape record herself and listen to this.
No, no. Absolutely wrong.
All right, Mary, are you there? Oh, go ahead, ma'am.
I'm serious. When you get off the show tonight, do what I suggest.
Your phone broke up.
No, wait, listen, because I'm going to get off right now.
Your phone broke
Bobby?
Up. I didn't hear
Bobby.
You. Your phone broke up.
Okay,
I didn't hear you.
Okay.
God.
Okay, what I want you to do is when the show is over. Okay, listen carefully. Don't comment. When
I'm
the
not
show
commenting.
Is over,
I'm listening to
I
what
you
saying.
To do this. I want you to give yourself the best argument for keeping this woman out of your show or out of your embrace where you are.
Okay.
And I want you to play it back because this is what everyone is hearing. And the injustice, the reason for doing this, the injustice is, and the point you want to make, is you want to raise money for these kids with cancer.
Yeah.
You don't want to drive people away.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly, and I'm not.
All right, I wish, listen, Bobby, I wish you luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Please do that.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, good night.
All right, thank you. And obviously she's never been involved in anything like this because...
Well, why not?
Well, she wouldn't, she obviously doesn't understand what it takes to have a fashion show. I tell you what I'll do, Steve, if you could get... Can I do something, Phil?
I don't have a whole lot of time, okay? And what I
want
to do...
What can I just do? I want to... I'm in the community center right now, and we are doing some practicing for the fashion show. And if Courtney Christopher... Get Courtney on the phone, Steve.
I'm going to get her on the phone now.
If I...
I don't have a lot of time. I got to take another break in a few minutes.
But if I can get Courtney over here and try to put her through the steps of the fashion show... And
are you concerned that she's not going to be good?
I'm concerned that she's brand new in the neighborhood. She wants to be really, really involved in our group. You know, we play cards. We do a wine and cheese.
How many women are on your little committee?
You know, it's not a little committee, Mr.
Well, how many women are on it?
We have about 8 or 9 women. And we do wine and cheese. And we take a spa treatment every Friday afternoon. And she wants to just push her way into our group. And I just,
it sounds to me like a lady who has a daughter with cancer that wants to help out.
Well, that's what a man would say.
That's what that lady just said.
She obviously doesn't live in a gated community. And
whatever that means, okay?
Let me do this. Hi, Courtney, honey. Courtney's here. I want you to go through the motions with me, Courtney.
Let me take a phone call here from Charlotte while you set her up or whatever.
That's fine.
Charlotte, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, this
yes,
is
ma'am.
Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte.
I need to say that you should not lose sight of the cause here. The cause is to help the children that cannot help themselves with an awful disease.
Right,
an awful and devastating disease.
Yes, of course.
This lady has a child with cancer. She needs the support. Maybe she seems eager to you.
Can I just
to break into your popular group,
Charlie?
All she's looking for is support. I'm a psychiatric nurse and I'm an RN, and I've seen this happen before.
Yes.
This woman needs your support. She does not need for you to push her away.
Why does she
And I
have
think
to,
the fact that you are
why
pushing
does she
her
have
away.
To glom onto me? Why does she do that? Why does it have to be me?
Are you not the person that's responsible in your group or your community for raising funds for cancer research?
Yes, I'm the chairman of our steering committee.
Does her child not have cancer?
Of our steering committee, yes.
Her child not have cancer?
Her daughter has cancer, and that's her way of trying to push her way into our clique.
Your clique.
What do you mean
this is about a clique.
No, but we have a group of women who are very friendly.
This is about a clique.
No,
it is not about raising money to
exactly.
help children.
It's about
this
some
clique.
This is
about selfishness.
No.
This is about you being popular when you were very young.
Charlotte,
this
we
is
do,
about all of that PTSD rolling in on you because
the what?
Something strange happened to you in PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Something's happening.
I don't
to
understand.
You because,
what does that mean?
Charlotte, can I say something?
It just means that she had a hard time with some stalker when she was younger, and now she's relating. She's putting all of this back on this woman who's
now has cancer. Are you a doctor?
No, I'm a psychiatric nurse and have been
you're
for
a nurse.
30 years.
Okay, you're a nurse, so there's a big difference.
I'm a registered nurse. Yes,
and
ma'am, there
I
is.
I don't think that you can make a clinical diagnosis. Let me do this. Courtney's here. go ahead and play the music again. Start the music again. I want to show you what I'm talking about, if I could, Charlotte. Courtney, go ahead and put on. Get her in the peach palazzo pants. And there's a red beaded vest that I want her to wear. Okay, go ahead. Turn, turn. That's nice. She's going down the runway now, Charlotte. What I'm trying to do is give her... All right, she's wearing the silver mini with a rainbow halter in it and a little nautical captain's cap that says, Ahoy, matey. Oh, Jesus H.
May I ask you something?
Yes.
Is this woman really confident? Is she very attractive?
Well, she thinks she's...
Look, is she attractive?
In a very, can I say the word, in a very slut-like way?
You know, it just sounds like you have some jealousy going on, you have some insecurities.
Not at all. No, not at all.
And you're really losing sight of the real issue here, and that is to raise money for children.
Absolutely.
That need
and
money.
Now she's wearing the go-go
and
shorts
it's very
with a mesh bustier.
It's very sad. You should not be heading a steering committee. Really
well,
shouldn't.
I think that's very judgmental. All right, put her into
really
the...
It really is. It really is.
Can
and,
I ask you something, Charlotte?
And I'm being judgmental based on the things you're saying.
Yes.
There's no reason for you to act this way other than that personally, you're insecure and jealous of this woman.
Oh, my God, that nothing could be further from... But I'm looking at her on the runway now. She's wearing the lime green culottes. There's thigh-high boots and a floppy hat, and she doesn't look good in it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You are absolutely jealous. What does it matter what she looks like in it? She's willing to volunteer to help children with cancer.
That's what we're trying to say here, Bobby, yeah.
Can I say something? How
does it matter?
Charlotte,
she could look like a frog on a log. It doesn't matter.
Charlotte,
it doesn't matter.
How can you make lime green culottes look bad?
God will bless you if you stay with the real
cause. Well, now you're getting out of science and you're going into religion. So are you?
Thank you.
Are you
so
a nurse
much.
Or are you not?
Thank you.
Okay. See, she's very. She's like a witch doctor or something.
Okay. I don't want to take any more phone calls.
Well, all right, Courtney, honey, stop the music. Charlie.
Yeah.
Stop the music. Okay. Steve, can you stop playing ping pong for a minute?
I've got three games.
Just stop. Jackass. Okay, here's what I want to do. Courtney, honey, I want you to get into the... So what I'm doing here... look at that. She's got one shoe bigger than the other, all right? I want you to get into the lime green culottes with the nautical hat. Okay, can you do that?
Yeah.
Hey. Now... here we go.
Well, your husband's still playing ping pong.
Whatever. And here comes Courtney now in a turquoise cocktail dress with a chiffon scarf and a wild Arab headdress.
Sounds just gorgeous.
Oh, she looks like garbage in it. Look at that, Steve. Jesus.
Hang up on these Fruit Loops, will you?
Oh, wait a minute. In the pink cami with the trout pattern. Oh, I love this. How can you make a pink camisole with a trout with a fly fishing pattern look bad?
I don't understand.
You know, I think there's something with the Dooleys, and it has to do with transsexuality. Here she comes in her lime green culottes. How can you make those look bad? 1-800-449-8686. I quit. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Austin Amarca joined us yesterday to talk about pregnant women and how they want to be put on a pedestal. They think they're so wonderful. His son mistakenly hit a pregnant woman with a waterlogged Nerf football at a 4th of July barbecue, and she got very upset about it, and Austin was saying, oh, why is she playing it all up?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This guy must have been hit, when he was in the womb, he must have been hit by something while his mother was 9 months pregnant with him.
Well, I anticipated a comment like that.
Evidently, you know, this is something that's gone on in the whole family. And I would venture to say that many of the women that are the movie stars don't go around saying they're pregnant to receive gifts.
First of all,
well, every time you open up a movie magazine, they're all in there saying that they want to have presents.
Mothers were hit in the stomach while they were pregnant, and they ended up having mental and physical disabilities. Now, if you hit that mother in the stomach at the right spot, you can kill that baby, and that's called murder. Now, I think if you want to be a responsible adult, you better start telling your children to stop messing around with pregnant women. And
ma'am, he's not messing around with pregnant. Mr. Henry, I'd like to make a comment. I'd like to make a comment,
and
sir.
That's all I want to say to you.
Hold on,
you
darling.
Need...
Hold on, darling. What?
Well, she's saying I'm messing around with pregnant women. My boy's not messing around.
Well, when he threw the football.
He wasn't trying to hurt that lady. Simply put, and the other thing that I want to mention, at what point does a man understandably take pride in a son who's got a good, strong rocket arm? Because I'll tell you right now, you can take Eli Manning and you can flush him down any toilet you want, because my boy has got an arm.
Well, that's fine that your son's got a good, strong arm. He hit a pregnant woman, okay?
And he did not mean to do that. And if that lady that just called in has got a mentally unstable kid, maybe that lady ought to, the police should go and see what she'd done to her kid to make him mentally unstable.
All right, well, let me see if Darlene is still there. Darlene?
I'm here.
Go ahead and respond if you want.
Yeah, I want to tell this man, keep his wonderful arm and his son's wonderful arm, Texas arm, away from pregnant women. He or his son will never in their life ever be pregnant. They have no conception of what it's like to be pregnant and what a pregnant woman goes through.
Well, it was
and
a soggy nerf ball, ma'am.
That husband of hers, that's really something else. He needs to be educated. And you know what? His mother probably got hit several times in the stomach whenever she was pregnant with him. That's what's wrong with his head. And that's what's wrong with his son's head.
Well, ma'am, just because
so
you have a retarded boy,
go back and find out
doesn't
what it's
mean
all
that
about.
I did it to you. I didn't make your kid retarded.
My kid's not retarded.
You just said that you had a retarded son, I thought.
I don't have a retarded son, but I know two men that have mental disabilities and physical disabilities because their mothers were hit in the stomach by some jerk just like you when they were pregnant.
Well, this is called
projection,
Mr. Henry.
And now these two men have to grow up to be adults.
She's
and they
projecting
cannot
that
take care
now.
Of themselves.
She's saying, I know of two men. She's actually talking about her two sons, probably.
No, I don't have two sons, you jerk ass.
Well, ma'am, I'll tell you, I've not called you a name because I'm a gentleman. But
anybody that says it's okay to hit a pregnant woman is not a gentleman.
Ma'am?
He's not a gentleman.
No nerf ball.
He's not a gentleman.
All right.
He's not a gentleman.
Okay.
He's not even.
All right.
He's
not
a gentleman. He's not a responsible adult. He's not a gentleman.
I'm not a gentleman. All right.
You know,
but
no way
wet nerf ball makes a retard. That's all I want to say.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, now what's, Bobby, are you on the line?
Yes, Phil, what I wanted to do is see if we couldn't get, Courtney back out here, because I feel really bad. And I
look, if you're just going to have her walk around in the lime green culottes and say she looks bad, nobody can make lime green culottes or a rainbow vest or a trout pattern, whatever the hell it is, look good.
I beg your pardon, but I turn heads when I wear that skipper hat and the banana yellow pantsuit. I turn heads.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
You laughing at me?
When you say you turn heads, you think people are like, Jesus, was that an alien?
Oh, aren't we funny? Did you hear that, Steve?
All right, well, in a moment, we'll go back to you trying to coax Courtney into her skipper's hat and banana yellow culottes or whatever in the hell you got going on at that summer-tacular fashion show. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686, and our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. And one of the great things about having a membership with a backstage pass for $6.95 a month is you get access to all of the great audio, the comedy audio that we have, all of the video archived stuff that we've got. Additionally, we have a souvenir shop that's second to none. Of all the souvenir shop, of all the merchandise that's being pitched on the web by radio shows, ours is the most quality merchandise. I say, I don't care what stuff you're talking about, this guy's gear or that guy's gear or some other guy's gear. You want to know why they call it gear? Because it's something a grease monkey would wear. That's why. With our stuff, baby, you could walk into a five-star restaurant with our bowling shirts, our very fashionable spa robes. if the police ever busted down the back door to your house because you're illegally doing cocaine on a glass coffee table and you're wearing the Bobby Dooley spa robe? I'm kidding. I'm not encouraging drug use. No, but you know what I'm saying. We got some really quality stuff. So what I would suggest you do is go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and pick up some of this amazing stuff, because it's very expensive. And when you do, a lot of money goes into our pocket, but it's also very quality. That's www.philhenryshow.com. I know she's holding. Okay, Ms. Dooley?
Yes.
All right, now you are trying to show us what a nice person you are. Is your husband still playing ping pong?
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to bother him. He's up three games. What is it?
I'm down $20.
I'm down $20. But what I want to do is, we're in the community center. Courtney Christopher is here. She wants so terribly much to be my friend that I thought I would put her up on the runway and see what she can do. And go ahead, Charlie, if you want. Now, we have a very lovely pair of lime green elf shoes. And this will be a salute to Scotland with a plaid kilt and a peekaboo flap in the kilt. And put her into that. And there's also a python print belt.
Oh, my God.
Well, what do you know about it? Okay, here's Charlie.
Yeah, got it, Miss Goldie.
All right, and Courtney is coming down the runway now. She's wearing the lime green elf shoes. Look at the very wonderful, it says, a tribute to the Highlands, a salmon tube top with the python print belt. And there's the peekaboo flap on the kilt. Go ahead and show a little leg on that, Courtney.
There's a ring on your...
Keep playing ping pong, Steve.
You need drive.
Sorry.
And now, voila, with the pulling of one scarf, look, it turns into a banana yellow and lime green pantsuit with a cute little tube halter. And you see the ice cream cones on each side of the halter there, Phil? And
no, because I'm not there. I'm here.
Oh, okay. La-dee-dee. And now, oh, you clumsy bitch.
All right, that's enough. What'd she do, trip?
And topping it all off with a plaid chef hat that says, I can't read that. Snazzy. Very, very snazzy, Courtney. Very snazzy. Very good.
Yeah.
Keep playing ping pong, Steve. All right, now, Courtney spins and smiles. Spin and smile. Now, the problem is she's got a very noticeable lip. And now, Courtney, I want you to do a little kind of a heel kick. Spin, lay out. All right, and lift the skirt. Stick your butt out. Perfect.
No wonder you don't... Will you turn that freaking ping pong down? Turn it down, will you?
No, I don't feel like it.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Dim all the lights, pour the wine, start the music. Time to get ready for love.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
So, Herb, you've got a...
Phil, Father's Day is a day that perhaps is the most painful of all holidays, and I didn't want to begin doing any press on this until after Father's Day, because it's... I suppose it would have been seen as sort of raining on some people's parades.
What is it do you find about Father's Day that is disingenuous? Because the film, I know, interviews fathers, you say, that have been abandoned.
Fathers, Phil, are not seen in the same sentimental light as mothers. Fathers are underappreciated, it is my opinion. Fathers are the ones who, I suppose, the children tiptoe around a little bit. It's not the great experience I suppose some young fathers think it will be. And this being the day after, I think the reality of that... has hit home, I think, with a lot of your listeners.
So your documentary sort of tells these stories of fathers abandoned by their kids or devoting themselves to their mothers, and
that's correct. And we tell a lot of interesting stories in the film. In fact, my own story, I think, is compelling in that it mirrors many of the men who we spoke with.
Well, you haven't spoken to your own kids in a long time. Is that true?
It is close to 7 years now. Yes.
Why is that?
Well, the mistakes I've made with my children, with my family, I've owned up to the mistakes that I have made. and I've paid for my mistakes. And I think because of that, my children owe me whatever forgiveness children owe their parents. And they need to know. You see, Phil, there's no rule book for being a good parent. Every parent listening right now can relate to that. You do the best you can.
Do you know why your kids have stopped talking to you? Was there one reason?
Well, there were a lot of reasons, I suppose. I might have been too strict. I worked a lot. I was away from home a lot. And their mother died when they were young. And I know without question this traumatized them. And they were there when it happened, as I was. And it was a terrible day for us. And also...
Well, tell me what their mother died when you guys were there. Tell me what happened. It figures into why they won't speak to you, perhaps. Do you suppose, or do they somehow blame you?
Well, I've got to believe they do. I'm sure that they do, but no one gives you a rule book. And that's the most important thing about being a parent. No one gives you a rule book. No one tells you the rules. So you're working blind. And certainly you can't expect...
What happened with their mother?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. We were traveling north with the kids over the grapevine. This was about 7 years ago.
And for people, just to interrupt you, Herb, who don't know, that the Grapevine, that's a part of Interstate 5 through North L.A. County.
We were heading north, yes. And my wife, whose name was Diane, and she was upset that day. We were on a family outing, and I wanted so much for us to have a good time. And the children were in the car.
But how many kids do you have?
Well, I've got three. Paul, Kim, and James. Paul, Kim, and James. And she was angry over a party we'd been at. And there had been a young lady from our art department who was following me around. And my wife was a jealous woman, so she was angry about this. But she picked the wrong time to bring it up. And I simply told her, Diane, the children and I want to have a good vacation together. And if you don't, why don't you just leave? And I good-naturedly leaned over her. And I opened the car door. And the next thing I know, I could see myself. I don't know how it happened, but I found myself... I saw myself suddenly just pushing her out of the car, and of course it was almost funny when you stop to think of what I said to her.
My God, you pushed your wife.
Well, in a way,
you killed your wife, is what you're saying.
Well, there's no rule book.
No, but you pushed your wife out of a moving car. Is that right?
Well, let's hold on for a minute. You say I killed her.
Well, you killed your wife, and that's what traumatized your kid. That's why they don't talk to you. Correct.
And I was incarcerated for 6 years at the state prison in Avenal, and I've made my amends, and I've made my amends to my children, and I've been through all of this. And what I'm on your show to talk about is my documentary on how fathers, for the most part, are treated poorly by the children, simply because there is no rule book. There's no guidebook on how to raise children. This is...
Well, wait, so the kids were all right with this? Why did you push your wife out of the car?
I don't know. The prison doctor told me I had an anger management problem. I've taken some seminars. He told me... Herb, you need to understand that some people are going to be insensitive, and anger is not the way to deal with it.
All right, hold on for a minute. Because if your kids haven't spoken to you in 7 years, from the time you pushed their mother out of a moving car, are the kids clear on all of this?
I think so.
Do they understand? Do they forgive?
Well, I think they knew their mother as well as I did. One thing that they knew about their mother, and that I knew about her, and it was difficult to deal with, was she didn't know how to just... be quiet. I used to say to her, Diane, just be quiet. And she'd go on and on and on. I saw this house. We have to move. My father and mother are coming to visit. And of course, she knew that I didn't enjoy that.
You did 6 years where?
Avenal.
Is that a state prison?
Yes, it is.
So you all right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. My guest is Herb Sewell. His documentary on... fathers and how they've been abandoned by their kids, how fathers are the most misunderstood and mistreated of the two parents. And in your film, you deal with why you think that is. The question, though, as I move through this interview with you, Mr. Sewell, is do you see a connect? Your children haven't spoken to you in 6 years.
No, they haven't. But you have to understand, and we're getting far away from the point. You know, the point is children are bond with their mothers... from the time they're born. And it takes an awful lot for them to bond with their fathers. And if you are working a lot, and I was working a very, very difficult, I was working as assistant director and director of a couple of projects, and so my children, as a result, I don't think were encouraged by their mother to bond with me. And
yeah, but in the 6 years they haven't spoken to you, you pushed their mother out of a car, and they haven't, out of a moving car?
Look, again, we're far afield of why I came on your...
Well, you were on the grapevine on Interstate 5, and she you reached over...
He was going on and on and on about this young lady who had paid attention to me at a party. And I said, if you don't like it, why don't you leave? And I leaned over, and I opened the door, and I pushed her out. But, as I told the judge, and as two psychiatrists attributed, I wasn't... It's almost as if she caused me to push her out, because...
Why? Because she was talking to you about some...
She wouldn't be quiet. Diane never knew how to be quiet. And what my fear is that you are not hearing me about...
Well, I'm just putting two and two together, and if it's coming out five, let me know. Your kids haven't talked to you in 7 years from the time you pushed their mother out of a moving car.
Well, I don't know if that was the date. No, I don't know if that was. I'll tell you when it happened. They moved. They talked to me after they. If you're asking me, did they talk to me when their mother died? Yes, of course they did. They stopped talking to me after they moved in with their grandparents, Diane's parents. Now, this is a woman, my mother-in-law, who, if you want to know where Diane learned how to not be able to just be quiet, it was from her mother. This is a woman, I don't even call her...
All right, so you've got some issues with your mother-in-law. You think that she unfairly influenced the kids?
Oh, without question. And this is what I'm talking about. There is no rule book to be a father. There is no...
No, there isn't a rule book to be a father or parent. But maybe the first thing that you don't want to do is push your wife out of a moving car.
Well, you know, Phil, there's an old saying... you know, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be in a horseshoe. If there's an awful lot of things that we go on, sort of a hypothetical way of going about life. I go about life the way it is. My children are ungrateful, as many children are, for the many things that I've done for them. And I've done a great deal of work with Dr. Finneman, the prison doctor. 6 years of incredible soul-searching therapy, and my children still treat me with disrespect. This can only be one reason. I think it's the influence that was their mother's, and then finally their grandmother. And so my film points that out. And
who do you blame for all of the disrespect that kids heap on their fathers?
Well, the obvious person to blame is the mother. The mother does not want to relinquish control of the children. And as a result, the father is blamed, and therefore the father. That's why Father's Day was, for me and for many millions of American men, so very unfulfilling. And that my children would not call me.
But I have to mention the fact that you pushed their mother...
Well, you can mention it...
No, you pushed their mother out of a moving car at about, you know, I don't know how fast you must have been going, but it couldn't have been very slow.
Well, you're going up the interstate grapevine. You have to understand, you've got a lot of these people who are on your tail. So you're doing probably through that area, you know, as you're coming off the grapevine, probably doing approaching 85, 90 miles an hour. But I don't want you to keep focusing on Diane... forcing me really to push her out of that car that day. Focus instead on the damage she did before in my relationship with my children.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You heard the man's story. That's Herb Sewell. He's a documentary filmmaker. His new film is coming out on fathers and why they're mistreated by their kids. Why so many fathers are abandoned by kids. Why so many fathers don't have the same relationship with their children that perhaps their wives or the mothers of the children have. His kids haven't spoken to him in 6 years. Now, the kids are living with their grandparents because apparently Mr. Sewell got into some kind of an altercation with his wife and pushed her out of a moving car on the interstate. The kids were there that day, saw that, and they haven't spoken to him almost from that date. He doesn't see a connection. I personally think I see a connection. You might ask him, Janice, if he's really wants to continue with this conversation, because I'm... fully not quite getting where he's coming from, although he's blaming his wife for the miscommunication he has with his kids. 1-800-449-8686. Yes, I asked him how fast they were going. My producer's asked, did you ask how fast they were going? He said close to 90 miles an hour. That's a gruesome, horrible thing. How come fathers aren't respected by their kids? 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Okay, we on? I'm sorry, I was just talking to Mr. Sewell off the air. Herb, you there? So we had a problem with the connection. Herb, you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yes.
All right. What we're talking about here is the documentary they've come out with about fathers and how they are not treated by their mothers. By their wives.
Well, yeah, it's funny you made that Freudian slip because in a lot of ways husbands are treated by their wives as if they're little boys. So it's not too far afield, that Freudian slip.
Well, whether it's a Freudian slip or not, they're not treated by their wives fairly. So the kids are ostracized. Fathers don't have the same relationship with their kids as mothers because the mothers undermine it.
Absolutely, without question. And again, my own experience is in that my wife Diane, and then her mother, after Diane was killed, poisoned their minds. And so, as a result, I don't have the right...
And you don't see any connection between you pushing their mother, Diane, out of a moving car on Interstate 5 and killing her?
No, but the connection, I've already talked to you about that. I did my time. I paid for the crime, as we say. And I certainly made amends to my children. So why wouldn't they, in a Christian society, why wouldn't they forgive me?
Good question. 1-800-449-8686, Mr. Herb Sewell, documentary filmmaker. Here is Marty. Marty, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Herb Sewell.
Hello.
Yes.
Comments. Yes, in a Christian society, turn the other cheek. However, I'd like to just make one point. You've said several times that your children are selfish and have been influenced by their grandparents.
Well, absolutely.
Or that the wife was mouthy and wouldn't shut up. You have taken no accountability whatsoever. And furthermore, just because you did your time in prison...
Well, I did 6 years of that, and all I
think that's taking... It does not matter that you did time in prison. You keep pointing your fingers to other people. Instead of looking at yourself, you murdered your mother, the mother of your children.
No, it was third-degree manslaughter, for which I did 6 years in
Avenal. That's what the jury, stated. You pushed her out of a moving vehicle, and
you
blamed your mother-in-law and your father-in-law and everybody else for your children not talking to you.
Well, Marty,
if
I could get a word in edgewise, if you have the same problem my wife had, you wouldn't... You know, shut up, and I don't mean to say shut up, but you just won't be quiet. Listen, first of all...
Well, you've got to let my callers have their say, and then you can say what you want to say.
That's fine. But the mother-in-law in question is... this woman, who is my so-called mother-in-law, I say so-called mother-in-law, because I call her the creature. And the reason why I call her the creature is simply this. She is the one... Really, at the heart.
Okay, well, I'm going to interrupt you. This creature gave birth to your three children. So, in essence,
this is exactly why Diane got herself pushed out of a car.
And degrade are part of your children. So, while you're belittling your
children have been influenced. No, they've been influenced by the creature, and that's why they don't give me respect that I'm deserving. Now, Marty, you are a very good example. One of the reasons why I did the movie is to not only show what's happening to fathers, but show women such as yourself who constantly want to blame you're the reason, Marty, that young people don't want to speak with their fathers. Because you talk all the time, don't you? Are you married?
I've been married for 14 years,
and
I'm a Christian.
Well, but what? You're a Christian, but you don't buy that turn the other cheek thing. You see,
well,
that's what I love about a lot of you.
You blame, criticize your deceased wife. They call her a creature, and that creature's blood is
no,
in your children. So when you cut down your deceased wife, you're cutting down your kids.
No, I'm not cutting down my wife. I'm cutting down the creature, that the mother-in-law, and that is the creature. My wife simply couldn't shut up. You know. Now, as to the Christian,
doesn't sound like you can either.
As to the Christian society that you claim to be a part of, the hypocrisy there, I think, is evident for all to see. That we live in a society that...
Well, wait a minute. You push their mother out of a... You know, there is such a thing as trauma, where even if a child says, yes, Daddy, we forgive you, they'll never forget seeing...
Well, then someone needs to teach them that. And who should teach them that? The people that the court has awarded the custody to, which is the creature and her husband, my so-called father-in-law. Now, my wife, out of her own insecurity, turned my three children against me, yes. But,
you just point fingers. You're one of millions of people
well,
who refuse to take accountability, responsibility, and the stuff that they've done.
Listen, I
and
did
you'll
6 years
blame everybody
at
else instead of looking at yourself.
I
and I'm going to make one last comment. May God
parties.
Have mercy on your soul.
Jesus loves you. Now,
all right, so what is this?
Well, she claims to be a Christian. She's brought, for all I know, she's a Muslim.
All right.
See, the sarcasm...
No, she's making fun of your laugh.
Well, the laugh comes from the idiocy of that woman's position and calling herself Christian, and she can't forgive me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Celine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
I need to say to you that marriage is a two-way street.
Yes.
You have problems... the wife has problems, the husband has problems. There are ways to solve problems.
Uh-huh.
Growing up, I have gone on the grapevine. What a terrible, terrible thing that you did, especially in front of your children.
Well,
if nothing
you
else,
see,
you should have pulled... No, excuse me, and stop with that laugh. You're not going to get any forgiveness.
I'm not...
And
I
am a good Christian.
Well, then you have to
pulled over
me.
On the side of the road, taking her out of the car and discuss this with her. Your children have no business forgiving you because you did something that was unforgivable.
What I'm talking about, Dr. Sewell, is that you pushed your wife out of a moving car at 90 miles an hour, and I haven't heard you say I was wrong.
Well, Mr. Henry, 6 years at Avenal State Prison is enough. I was wrong, I think. I don't know what more you want from me. Now, my children need to come to me and say, we're sorry that we're being disrespectful to you, Daddy.
Even though you pushed their mother out of a car.
Well, it's not as if I was doing the worst thing in the world. The children knew that she talked too much.
You need to face reality. You need to face reality.
All right, thank you, Celine. 1-800-449-8686. Herb Sewell is doing a documentary on fathers. Why are they so left out? He pushed his wife out of a moving car in front of his kids, but he still doesn't understand why they won't talk to him. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You're a butt plug with legs.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, I understand Herb Sewell is with you. I understand you're en route now, Herb, to a screening.
That is correct, Phil, if you don't, and if you can hear me, because I am on a screen.
You're coming in fine.
All right.
In any event, Herb Sewell is with us, a documentarian. He's made a film about fathers and how they are the neglected parent and how kids don't, they're not as close to their fathers as possible. Your story, and I'm sorry to have to keep bringing it up, is a little different. You admit that you pushed your wife out of a moving vehicle in front of your kids back some 6-7 years ago. You did prison time for this, correct?
I did manslaughter, yes. But Phil, the court even acknowledged I didn't even do it so much as I saw myself doing it. I have to, you have to get, this was almost, and Dr. Fitterman told me it was an out-of-body experience. I saw myself doing it. So I was almost a witness. I was traumatized as well. I was a witness to myself. And I'm sure you've heard people say, I saw myself doing this. People who have committed these vicious crimes.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard people say, I saw myself do. So In the mind of a psychiatrist, what does that mean?
In the mind of Dr. Finneman, who treated me at Avenal, I was traumatized as well. So I was horrified. I was like another person in the car watching this vicious man do this, even though it was me doing it. Now, that all begs... This has all been talked about, and I really want to get on with talking about my film, because I can tell you that...
Well, but there is a court... Have you petitioned the court to compel your daughter, Kim, to see you?
I didn't know that that was public, but yes, I have.
Well, I've got a pretty good staff here. You have petitioned the court to compel your daughter, Kim, to allow you to attend her wedding.
I, as her father, have the right to walk her down the aisle. I don't know if you have a daughter, but that happened...
Yes, I do. I've got a 12-year-old daughter.
Well, when the time comes that young lady is going to be married, it is the right of a father to walk his daughter down the aisle. So we have petitioned the court something called Penal 13, section of Penal Code, actually, which enables custody in extenuating circumstances. Now, she is of age, but I want to walk her down the aisle at her marriage to a young man who is a prominent member of the film industry. And
but don't you, this kind of stuff can be seen, in other words, is you want to walk your daughter down the aisle so that you can be in with a son who's in the film industry.
No, that's not the case at all. No. I'm saying...
Well, that's what it looks like. You're a documentarian. This young, what does he do?
He is, actually he's the son of a studio executive, so he's really not in the field. He's the son of a major studio chief. But that's no. My children have lost their mother, but they gained a father who's loving and anger-free due to the 6 years I did, three of which were in isolation due to violence considerations.
You were in isolation 3 years because of violence, and now you're out, and now you want to walk your daughter down the aisle, the daughter who witnessed you push her mother from a moving vehicle when she was, what, 14 years of age, and now you also have a movie out talking about how fathers are neglected, and you don't even take responsibility for this because it was an out-of-body experience. I just want to make sure...
My documentary reenacts the entire scenario with a wonder... Meredith Baxter Burney plays my wife in a dramatization, yes. And you'll see, Meredith does a wonderful job of approximating Diane never shut up. She just talked and talked and talked. And you will see how any man would be compelled to just swing the door open and do as I did. I remember I took my foot off the gas just long enough, and I'm thinking about it now, it traumatizes me, but I lifted my right leg up.
And you kicked her out of the car.
Yes.
Stephanie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, Stephanie, go ahead.
I cannot believe that this man is out of prison, number one. What is wrong with our penal system that a man can murder...
I did every day of the time that was assigned to me by the court.
Excuse me, sir. Something is wrong with our courts. Excuse me for using sir so loosely. What is wrong with our courts that they would only give you 6 years for murdering...
I didn't murder
this
her.
Woman
it was an out-of-body...
Of their out-of-body my experience.
Experience.
My...
No, you've
excuse
heard...
me, sir, but something is also wrong with the psychologist and with the parole board at Avenal State Prison, and they will get a letter from me that
I'd
they
like
have allowed you to be on
your...
the street.
I
and
still...
how, excuse
what
me.
What is your qualification?
My qualification is that I am a mother who has a husband and three sons that are loving fathers.
Well,
and trust me, they wouldn't murder their children's mothers.
Well, if they... blathered on, they must be very lucky.
Excuse me, you know what? I blather on like the best of them, thank God. Because it's men like you that need to be put in their place.
Well, wait a minute. What's your deal? First of all, I did the time. I paid for the crime by doing that. Number two.
You know what? You
I
did not
saw
pay
myself.
The time.
I was
because it's a life for a life. Read the frickin' Bible. You preach
oh,
about being a Christian.
The Bible. Well, people
what happened to an eye for an eye?
That's not Christian. That's the new. That's the Old Testament.
You
that's
know what?
The New Testament.
You know what?
Now, the
sir,
lady that called
if
from
your
Atlanta...
Children, your Christian. Children should never speak to you again. And how you can do a film documentary on being a father?
Well, I think I've been abused.
Why would anybody pay money to allow you to do a film documentary? I'm sure it had to be self-financed because nobody would be in with you on this.
I want to ask
you
a question
here.
Herb, I want to ask you a question. How has your daughter responded to the court, you wanting to compel the court to have you walk her down the aisle?
We're expecting a response from her attorney, but I certainly have the right to walk my daughter down the aisle when she's marrying a prominent member of the film industry. Now, this is, happens to be what I do for a living. You know, are you telling me?
Well, how self-serving can you be to want to walk your daughter down the aisle, a daughter that you traumatized by pushing her mother out of the car, and then...
Let me ask Stephanie. Stephanie, being a mother, don't you think that I have the right to make a speech at my daughter's wedding?
No, I do not. And
why?
Daughter doesn't have a restraining order to keep you 500 miles from her wedding, something's wrong with her.
Well, ma'am, let me just say...
You are a dangerous man, sir. You are still a dangerous man because you have not owned this at all.
No, I'm not dangerous. I saw myself doing it.
You are a sick, dangerous man.
Well, I wouldn't drive on the grapevine with your husband and family if I were you. With your mouth going like that.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to drive on any freeway near you because you are a very dangerous man, and the parole boards at Avenal State Prison will hear from me.
Well, you can rest assured that 3 years in isolation, I will never push a woman out of a...
You still ought to be in isolation because you're a kook.
You know, Stephanie, let me just say it's a good thing I didn't marry you.
I don't believe this radio station, nor I am giving you time, but I have never been so angry in my life.
Mr. Sewell, what you're not getting is that it doesn't matter if you apologize to your children. It doesn't matter if it was an out-of-body experience. They witnessed their mother getting pushed from a car.
And you know, when she was getting shoved from that car, she was still talking. I can still see her falling backwards onto the freeway and her mouth still moving on about some house she saw in La Cañada. Can you imagine that? So I...
Wait a second. Are you listening to what we're saying, though, sir?
I understand what you're saying. I told you that I am trying to make amends. Kimberly won't let me make a speech at her wedding. And I do want to show a copy of my film to her new husband. Why can't I do this? I don't understand. I've done everything that I can to make amends to these children. And what do I get in return? I'll have a father-daughter dance at her wedding... If it kills me. Stephanie, I was nude in isolation. Nude.
You know what?
I had no clothes on.
Sir, you should still be stripped nude and still be in isolation. And thank God for the grandmother of your children that have raised them to understand
Amen.
That you are a sick man.
Amen.
Oh,
thank
the creature.
God to the grandmother of your children.
You're talking about...
I praise that woman. I praise that woman for helping them to see the truth about their father.
Now you're speaking of the creature. So you've never met the creature, so you...
You are a creature, sir. You are a creature.
This is a woman that's raising your children.
Raising my children to hate their father, who in a moment's weakness kicked their mother out of a car.
At 90 miles an hour on the grapevine.
Whatever.
Oh,
all right.
You know what, Phil?
You know,
please don't give this man any more airtime.
I appreciate your call very much, Stephanie.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. I'm going to take one more phone call, and I want you to understand.
I'd like to speak about my film, if I could.
We'll talk about your movie. Okay? But everything out of your mouth here is she was still talking as she was falling backwards out of the car. Amanda, go ahead.
Look, I know you're all upset that your daughter's not letting you go to her wedding. But my father wasn't at my wedding. For 15 years, I had to deal with abuse from my father and watching him beat on my mom. No, he didn't kill my mom, but I'm 24 now, and it's taken me the biggest part of my life to even be nice to my father. No, he didn't go to my wedding, and if I was to do it over again, he still wouldn't go to my wedding because I didn't get along with him. You can't respect someone that doesn't respect you. And you've got to understand that you're the mother of your child your child looks at them as the most important thing.
You have to hear this, Herb, okay?
Look, Amanda, please understand that even I couldn't believe... It wasn't me doing it. It was an out-of-body experience.
It was you. I don't believe that.
In fact, they called me as a witness.
You can separate yourself from the situation. I've had to, I don't know how many times, separate myself from a violent situation. It's very hard for me right now to talk to you and not want to reach through the phone and talk to you. Okay.
But, ma'am, do you understand that if I could reach out to my new son-in-law, I could get Hilary Duff to reenact the role of my daughter.
I don't care who you have to reenact the role of your daughter. The fact is, I'm the eldest child of an abusive situation, and it has taken me the biggest damn part of my life to even be nice to my father, to even be nice and tolerable to him. You know how it...
Well, you know, Amanda, this is Phil Henry. Amanda,
sometimes cringes
Amanda,
to have
this is,
my
this
father.
Is Phil, and I, as far as I'm concerned, you shouldn't even have to talk to your father. You shouldn't talk to him. He should
See,
be the one who
the
comes
thing.
To you.
My grandpa died 3 years ago.
What kind of advice did you give to that young lady?
He tried to get me forgive my father and to be nice to
him. I wouldn't if I were you. You don't have any duty to do that.
You know, I mean...
Mr. Henry, you are abusing this young lady as much as her father did by giving her advice like that.
Exactly.
No, I'm not.
I mean, come on.
Your father is abusing your mother. Abusing your mom is like torture. All I did was open a door and punt my wife out
you
the door like a football.
You pushed her out the door, which is a hell of a lot worse than ever hitting her.
Do you understand?
You killed her in front of your kids.
No, your father...
And that's worse than ever hitting her. Miss Henry,
you see my point, don't you?
Wait a second. Are you trying to say that because you didn't beat on your wife, you just kicked her out of a car once? It's not as bad as what this girl's father did to her mother?
I would... If I were to go back and redo things, I would much rather have had my dad do something worse than see him beat on her for 16 years of marriage.
Look, have you ever played
kickball?
Because
he also beat on us, and, you know, it's hard to see that. It's hard to trust a man after that.
Amanda, hold on for a minute. What did you just say, Mr. Sewell?
I asked Amanda if she's ever played kickball.
And why did you ask her that?
It was like a moment in kickball. That's
a kicking your wife out of a car.
You are an
Amanda, please understand that if I can meet my new son-in-law, he can hook me up to the Culkin brothers to play my two sons and Hillary Duff to play my daughter in the reenactment. And if I can do that, I'll blow Michael Moore's stuff for me out of the water.
I hope you never, never, never make anything as far as movies or anybody else. I hope that you rot
what you just said to me,
and your children never, never get to have a part of you ever, and I hope you never see your grandchildren. Because
what you just said to me is worse than what I did to my wife.
You need to have a part of their life.
Come on.
You don't even deserve it.
Can I demonstrate to both of you? I can demonstrate
to Mr. Henry. The fact that you killed your wife, the mother of your child.
This is exactly why I threw her out of the car. Now, I want Jim, Jim Doheny is with me.
You better be careful if you're not in the car with me, because I would have thrown you out, too.
I know Jim.
Jim, say hello to Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Jim.
I want to demonstrate something. If Amanda's still there, Jim's in the car with me right now.
I'm here.
All right, we're on the 110 freeway. We're heading into Pasadena right now. Jim.
Congratulations.
This is the Avenue 43. I'm going to pick you up here. I'm going to swing around when I get up to Fair Oaks, all right? But I'm going to kick him out of the car right here. This is not that.
Hey, you know what?
What?
You set it on air. Now you're convicted. Now
right.
It's manslaughter.
Now
this guy
manslaughter.
Gets...
All right, watch this. Open the door.
No. See, now it's manslaughter because you're kicking him out of your car. I've had a friend who was jumped out of his car. And now I have to start everything all over again.
I just kicked him out of the car at Avenue 43.
Are you kidding me? Are you nuts?
You want me to call the police? Because I can call the police. I got called waiting.
No, Amanda, we got it covered. Don't worry. Thank you, though. Thank you for your call.
No, wait a minute. Don't let this young man. I just kicked that guy. I can see him. He's waving to me from the exit ramp. He's fine.
What?
You... God, I hope you run into a very,
all right.
very
if you
big
don't believe
man.
It, I'll kick myself out of the car. Watch this.
There you go.
Okay, Janice, I want you to find out what happened there. Are you there, Amanda? Is Amanda... Amanda, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. I don't understand
all right,
people
get,
like that.
I want to understand people like that. He just threw himself out of his own car.
You know, this is bad to say, and I am a Christian too. And I mean, I do my best to forgive people, and I do believe in the turn the other cheek. But there's only so many times
that
I hear
you
can forgive
all right,
somebody.
Amanda,
you know,
thank you for your call. Thank you very much for your call, ma'am.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
How is he back? Are you back on?
Yes, I'm right here.
Did you throw yourself out of your own car?
Yes, I did. And then I caught up to my car.
Oh, get out of here.
No, wait a minute. Hold on for a minute.
No, get out of here.
No, just one thing, Phil. I just want you to hear, if you think my wife died horribly, I want you to hear the last thing that she heard.
Isn't that funny? Herb Sewell. I wonder why my kids won't talk to me. I just booted their mom out of a car. Happy Monday. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You flip a phone in a Korean War veteran and you pull back a bloody stump.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
This is Phil. Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir. You're talking to me and Vernon Dozier.
I put 32 years in the military.
In a mental institution?
No, military.
Well, I don't understand.
You don't know what the military is?
I don't understand how they let a guy like you in.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, this guy here with his grandchildren acting the way he is.
My grandkids are going to learn how to gut fish and clean them.
You son of a... I wish I had you right in my hands right now.
Well, what would you do? Make love to me?
Yeah, I'd make love to you, all right. I'd wring your damn neck, you rotten... I've got grandchildren.
Oh, I doubt it. Like you
what?
Never, like, I don't think you have grandkids. Were you able to have children? I'm not sure.
You I put 32 years in submarines.
Yeah. Well,
and
that,
I'll tell you right now,
pressure.
If I had you in my hands, I'd kill you.
You can hardly breathe. You couldn't hurt me.
Yeah, that's right. I do have a hard time breathing.
That's
because I give my life to the military, and I give it to my grandchildren right now.
You spent 32 years breathing somebody else's farts in a submarine.
That's right. We did.
You breathe? Is this Jerry Stiller? I just want to...
Listen.
I don't know who the hell you are.
Yeah, I don't either, Bill. This is some guy who's...
No, seriously, Jerry, is that you? Because I was at the Friars Club in New York, and...
You don't belong at the Friars Club, you rotten...
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Reality television is, well, it's what TV is today. It's really what networks are looking for in terms of a show they can put on the air for as little cost as possible and make as much money as they can, because the production cost on reality TV shows is very, very minimal. Eric Hester is a television producer with a new reality TV show that he is hoping will be on the air this fall. And Mr. Hester, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Phil.
And tell me about this show called Surprise, because the way you're promoting this, you're throwing out the rule book on reality television. You're going to take it someplace it's never gone before.
Well, we hope to, yes. The show is called Surprise, and this show is really like no other show in history. Most reality television is very shallow and very cookie-cutter. My partner, Cal Coltrane, and I decided that what we wanted was a reality TV show that would go somewhere deeper than just the usual fare that we see, which is a bit more like a freak show, really, bug eating and marriages between dwarves and this sort of thing. And with Surprise, we think we've done that.
Now, this show is airing this fall on NBC?
We're shooting for that, yes.
Well, I know that what you mean about the cookie-cutter thing, that the way things look on TV, especially reality shows.
But we believe in reality TV. Please don't get me wrong. We just think it can be much more. Surprise gathers together siblings, and that is brothers and sisters from any given family, and we want the kids to generally be anywhere from the age of 8 to 10 years of age. And we gather the kids in a variety of settings. It could be their home, it can be at school, it can be at a fast food restaurant. Now the kids are together, and we have an actor dressed as a police officer, or in some cases a minister, or in some cases a man in a suit or a doctor's smock. And this person sits down with the kids. And here's where I think reality television can really be something special and do a service, as opposed to having people conduct themselves in this freak show manner, picking the bachelorette, this kind of thing. We think we're better than that. And we're better as people than that, I think. What we do is we have that person sit down with the kids and tell them, kids, I am very sorry to have to tell you, but your mother and father have just been killed in a car crash. Now, what we do is we pull the camera in close, right up into the faces of these children, who for the very first time in their lives are experiencing death. Now, that is reality TV. I don't even call it reality TV. I call it truth TV, and I call it life TV.
Are the kids' parents really dead?
No. The parents are alive and well and are watching from a remote van. And then at some point, of course, we do tell the kids, you know what, we were just joking around, but maybe now you'll appreciate your parents a little bit more. And as far as our host goes, we're hoping to get Drew Carey, or we would agree to somebody who's a very funny man. Drew Carey is good, Ray Romano, who can tell the kids that their parents are dead, because it will soften it a little bit, because we're concerned about how the kids will react, and he might have a joke, and then when the parents show themselves, we would have a little bit of a song, things like this. These people are funny, the Jay Lenos and so on, and if we can get them...
All right, hold on. You have them break the news, and then the children react, and then at some point, you tell them that you're kidding.
And then we say, we're only kidding, your parents are not dead. Now, here they are, now the moral is, of course, appreciate your parents. See, looking at reality shows, you get embarrassed by how low they stoop, how low they can go. And we're trying to elevate the reality genre.
What do you consider the worst of the reality shows?
I think they're all of them. The Littlest Bachelor was exploitation. I think Fear Factor is not reality TV. No, nobody eats bugs or jumps from a moving truck. That's not reality television. I talked with the head of NBC's entertainment division, a guy by the name of Mo Zucker, and I told him we need to take it to another level. Surprise will show 8 to 10-year-old children who have just been told their parents are dead. Now, this, Phil, is a moment in time that we capture, and then we go through the grieving with them.
What if the kids become panicked? What if they become upset?
If we need to, we have cell phones on the set. We can call 911 if needed. The cameras have an opportunity to catch that, though. In fact, the pilot that we shot and have shown two networks that are probably going to be bidding for it, one of the children becomes physically sick. She vomits, and we debated, should we cut that out? And my partner, who's one of the smartest TV guys, Kyle Coltrane, said, no, it's reality, and that is reality television.
Okay, Eric Hester joins me. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The new show is called Surprise, where children are told that their parents have been killed in an automobile accident, and then they get the close-ups on them, and he's hoping to get a host like Ray Romano or something. Why get a comic to deliver news like this?
Because, again, the audience will be in on it. It softens it for the audience, and I think that maybe the kids will take the news better if they're hearing. If I was small and I had a wonderful entertainer such as Whoopi Goldberg or someone like that say to me that your parents have been killed in an automobile accident, I might be able to deal with it better if I was hearing it.
If you were hearing it from Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, not necessarily, but we're trying to get the camera in tight on these situations.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number. I don't know how many of you guys watch reality television. I do agree with you that it's pretty much worked all of the angles, and when you say, you made a very interesting point, eating bugs and jumping off of moving vans is not reality because few of us actually do that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and why and how many of us have the opportunity to be wined and dined by a handsome bachelor or a beautiful bachelorette? No, this is reality, Phil. This is the reality of a child being told that their parents, mommy and daddy, are not going to come back, and then getting that reaction. I don't think there's anything more primal in life, Phil, than the separation of a child from a parent. I don't know if you saw the film E.T. I think E.T. dealt with it very beautifully, the separation from the home planet by the creature. And, of course, there was the wonderful artificial intelligence that Steven Spielberg, again, you're dealing with the separation of a robot boy from his flesh and blood mother. What we want to do is elevate the genre and make reality television something we can all be very proud of. And, again, I think it's going to be a great thing.
All right, now, I got to ask you here. Children, even though you tell the kids you're only kidding, to hear that mommy and daddy have been killed in an automobile accident, at what point do you tell the kids that this is just a joke?
Well, we go through the entire grieving. We make burial arrangements, and
you're going through days.
Well, it's a couple-of-day process where you go through the entire process of mommy and daddy have to be buried, this kind of thing. But then eventually, just as I want you to understand that this is intended
as a way to really make the child understand that it's all been in fun, okay? Because we have a viewing where the people are laying in their caskets, and then they sit up, and they say, Mommy's not dead, Daddy's not dead.
And how did the kids take it?
Well, I told one of the kids vomited, but the other kids, I think, were relatively all right with it. Again, where do we go for reality, Phil?
So these are 8 to 10-year-old children who are told their parents are dead. Then you go through the burial arrangements. Then they go in for the viewing of the bodies, and they sit up in the casket and say, almost like, hey, you're on candid camera?
No, it's not. No, it's not candid camera. It is a surprise, and then Ray Romano or Drew Carey or whoever we hire comes in, and we do a song. And this is a way, I think, of showing both the horror and the relief, the release from horror. I mean, my partner Kyle put it in a way, have you ever had to really just go, you know, to the bathroom? There's the horror of not being able to, and then there's the release. It's the same thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Marcy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
I'm calling from San Diego to tell you that I think that this is an appalling idea. If your guest would have been working in the school system during 9/11 and seen the horror in these children's faces at the, you know, the sight of death, the hearing of what happened. My son was a friend of the girl whose father was killed in Iraq. He was a civil, you know, civil contractor. He came home petrified because my husband travels for a living.
Right.
This
there's,
is not
there's
funny.
There's one point that you're leaving out, Marcy, that we include in our program. What if you were able to come to those children a half hour later and say, you know what, we're just kidding?
I don't think that would have been funny at all.
Well, you don't think.
And I
don't think
death is nothing to joke about.
Well, of course it is. We're all going to die. It's a part of life. It is the
it
process.
It is a part of life, but there's no need to traumatize these children this young at age. You should prepare them in a way that they can accept it, not go, oh, only kidding.
Do you think that there is a risk of trauma here, you know, Mr. Hester, or is there, like you say, the telling the kids that they're only kidding?
Look, what we're looking to do, Phil, and what I'm trying to tell your listeners, reality television, the kind that this lady or other people may watch, is a joke. It's not reality at all. We need reality.
I agree with you. Reality television is a joke. It is not
entertaining. This is going to be great.
And neither is your show going to be entertaining. And anyone
with
any sense will not watch your show.
Well, ma'am, you haven't seen it. I think you're judging it based upon... Children were traumatized by Bozo the Clown. Were you aware of that? Whatever we're doing on Surprise is only giving the child reality.
All right. Thank you very much, Marcy, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Eric Hester is my guest. The producer of a new reality show that he hopes will be airing this fall on NBC called Surprise, where kids are sat down and told their parents have been killed in an automobile accident, and then a half hour later their parents sit up in the casket and say surprise. Now, you know, even if the kids were just told, well, you know, we're just kidding, your folks are not dead, that's one thing, but to have them sit up in the coffin, and he said one of the kids threw up. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Eric Hester, the producer of a new reality show called Surprise. The show is based around young children of 8 to 10 years of age being told that their parents have just died in an automobile accident or some other kind of mishap, I imagine, only to be told later on that they're only joking. But you want to get that look of reality. You want to get that look of fear.
Oh, absolutely, Phil. The look of reality, not the look of fear necessarily, but the real sensation of death. And the lady made a very good point. Death is nothing to joke about. But maybe it's time we tried to at least have a little bit of fun with it. Because I'll tell you a story, and the reason why I did this show...
All right, well, I want to get to some calls.
Okay, that's fine, but you'll be interested. I was in the 101st Airborne, Phil, when I was in the Army. I was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And we did a jump one day. My very best friend was leaning against a tree. My best friend in the world leaning against a tree after we'd done a jump. And they were parachuting in after the airborne troops had dropped. Then they would drop in the supplies in crates on parachutes.
On parachutes?
Yes. And my best friend in the world, a guy by the name of Howard Duggan, was leaning against a tree lighting a cigarette when one of those crates dropped out of the sky, hit him smack on the head, and killed him. And I remember I laughed until I almost got sick. I thought it was that funny.
Oh, my God.
But imagine that. You're a paratrooper, and you're killed by a crate of MRIs falling out of the sky. So I remember thinking, well, that is, how can I bring that sense of humor to the...
But do you look back on the death of your best friend as a humorous thing?
Well, I'm sorry that he's gone, but it was so funny to see the way he died. How can I bring that joyous... Because it was joyous, I suppose, to see him get hit by this crate. It wasn't funny, but it left me with a smile on my face. And so I've decided to...
It left you with a smile on your face to see your best friend get hit by a parachuted crate of stuff.
Yes, not because I lost my friend, but it when I think back on the death of Howard, I got to tell you, I got to pull over because I start laughing. So how do I bring that to the TV? And that's where we came up with surprise.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dottie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Eric Hester. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a retired teacher, and as far as I'm concerned, this is mental child abuse. If you want to do something with adults, but if I did that as a teacher, I'd be arrested and thrown in the can. And if somebody doesn't do that to you, you're sick.
Well,
I don't know where to
begin with you because you don't make very educated statements for a teacher. Number one.
I beg your pardon.
Somebody who's laughing at his buddy die doesn't
make very good statements either.
Well, you had to have been there. If you were there, I guarantee Dottie, you would have made your depends a little smelly.
Let's watch out with...
Who are these parents that are allowing this to happen? You couldn't do it in the classroom.
First of all, if you were able to do this in the classroom, Dottie, you sound like the kind of person who might enjoy it. Secondly,
well, what are you doing now?
Is this
children
a surprise?
Children are very tough individuals.
Is
they
this
scrape their
be
knee.
A surprise
they
to
heal.
Me?
They hear their probably everything in life is a surprise to you, Dottie. Children hear their parents. Especially after their parents rush out after give them a great big hug, and we surprise their family and everything like that.
Yeah, and then you're going to have kids that won't leave their mother and father's side for years.
Well, Dottie,
check with a few school psychiatrists.
No, what I ought to do is check with.
Sorry, buddy, you're on the wrong plane.
I'll check with your kids. They probably couldn't wait to get out of the house.
All right, there goes Dottie. Here is Rachel. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine.
I'm a little in shock, actually, about that last call with Dottie, so I hope I get a little respect to say a few words.
Wait a second. That lady was nothing but disrespectful to me, so she got as good as she gave.
Okay, let me just give my opinion, and then you can give your feedback if you'd like. I actually turned this on, and I'm in the car with my 11-year-old right now. And
oh, great.
I personally am completely appalled and truly do believe that you... Okay, so I'm completely appalled, and I asked my son's opinion as an 11-year-old,
yes.
And he said that not only, and he's a very well-spoken, articulate boy,
I'm sure.
And he said not only would he not appreciate me more, but he would feel resentful towards me because he felt he wouldn't be able to trust me at that point. And I have to agree with the last caller that the psychological damage that you could possibly put upon these kids is immense, and honestly, the fact that parents would allow their children to experience something like this, I do believe that somebody in CPS or social work needs to get involved. And I'm sorry that you experienced such traumatic things in your life that you think it's funny to see your friend
die. Well, let me address one of these things, Rachel. First of all, your son said something to you, and we all know that children lie. Your son is going to tell you what he wants you to, you know, what you want to hear.
Do you have children? Do you have children?
I did.
You did?
I did, yes.
Meaning?
Well, if you'd like to hear the story, I can tell you.
Well, I don't need to hear a far-out thing,
My wife got custody of them.
Okay, so your children are still alive.
Yes, most certainly.
But you don't have custody of them, and maybe there's a particular reason for that.
Well, first of all, children lie, like your son just did to you about, oh, mommy, I'd really think about it. Of course he doesn't mean that. Of course he'd appreciate you more. Do you like television? I bet you do. And I can guarantee you and
your
son.
Actually, I can't stand reality TV. I think it's obnoxious. And I think the only reason you're doing it is to try and earn a dollar. And I'm really sorry that you've lost your kids. You don't have an opportunity to see how wonderful it is to raise them, that you think that this would be okay for children, and it's clear that you have no right to parent a child.
Well, Rachel, that's quite a statement. I'd like to send you and your son two hats from Surprise and two T-shirts so that you guys would come on our program.
I actually would never submit my son to that, because I actually care about him. It's unfortunate that these parents have no...
It's interesting that you don't like the show, because we've got a lot of interest from PBS. And
you've got a lot of sick people.
Well,
you have a lot of sick people.
NPR is going to have me on. And
well, what does that mean, NPR and PBS?
Obviously,
NPR wants to hear what you have to say, but that doesn't mean that they agree. You're controversial. That's the way they want to hear it. It doesn't mean they agree with it.
NPR only puts on educated programming that is going to educate people. And, Rachel, you get to sit in our air-conditioned van. You can watch your son show his love to you by saying, oh, my God, my mother's dead.
And watch him throw up on himself? Like that one kid did?
Why on earth would I want to see that? I want to see my son experience joy. I don't need to see my son experience terror.
Well, you don't get to see that until he moves out. But I can do...
All right. Rachel, thank you for your call. 1-800-449... What is that supposed to mean? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Eric Hester with the show Surprise. He tells kids their parents are dead. Then he says he's kidding.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're talking with Eric Hester. The new reality show that he's producing is called Surprise, where children are told their parents are dead in an automobile accident, only to be told later on that they were just kidding. Now, you heard mothers in that first half hour talking about how it was child abuse, how it was abusive to these kids, how it was something that should be actionable in a court of law, Mr. Hester, and yet you call this entertainment based upon the death of a friend of yours being hit in the head with a crate in a paratrooping exercise. He was an adult. These are kids.
Well, that's a very good point, Phil, but let me also point out something, that most of those women and most of the women that might call me, or most of American women that might call me and say, well, we don't think this is right. You should be off the air because your program is very cruel. All of those women are the very same women that will subject their children to these anti-abortion marches and will put their children through these prayer meetings and these kinds of things. No, this is the kind of thing...
Well, wait, that's the politics of the mother.
That's abuse. Absolute abuse.
How do you figure that's abuse?
Well, you're taking a young child and you are manipulating that child for your own political purposes. And those are the very same women that would take their child out on one of these pro-life marches, okay, and then say, oh, but you can't do this to my child. Look, the parents, those are the very women that I'd love to have on this program, because those women, I think, once they get past their initial politically correct reaction, I think are sadistic enough, perhaps, to even enjoy it. And so
you do agree, then, that parents who will let their kids on these programs are sadists?
I know. The parents that we deal with are great.
But you did say sadistic enough to enjoy it.
Those women who would take exception, who can't admit to themselves that this is something that's no worse and probably nowhere near as bad as them taking their children on these marches, you know, for against breast cancer or something, which is political manipulation of their children.
All right, 1-800-449. I understand you have a piece of music from the show.
We do, Phil. We have the opening to the program.
All right, I'll hear that in a minute here. 1-800-449-8686. Jonna, hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Eric Hester.
Yes, I wanted to make a point. My children, 13 years ago, did lose their father. They went through this reality TV show, only it wasn't a TV show, it was real life. And I can tell you that the horror that I saw come across their faces as they received the news and then had to go through the viewing and all the things that you said were going to go on in your show.
Right.
And then at the end not have their father sit up in the casket and say, surprise.
Well, that's why they're upset.
No, that
that's
is
why they're
not,
upset. If the father would have gotten up.
No, that is not why they're upset, sir. I'll tell you what. That is a trauma that will never leave them. This happened 13 years ago to those children,
yes.
And it will never leave them. And it was not to be relieved by somebody sitting up in the casket saying surprise.
Well, I'll tell you, I wish I would have had a camera there that day.
Eric. You are
what is
sick
that?
No,
with
I,
it,
I,
and the parents that allow their children to go through that show are worse than you.
Jonna, let me
How
propose this.
How dare you do
let
that
me,
to
let
those
me,
children.
Let me propose this to you. You say 13 years these young people have had to live with the death of their father, and I understand that. But would they be feeling bad today had he popped up in the coffin and said, hey, let's go get some shots and beers?
They would have felt worse.
They feel bad today?
It would have been a lie. And how dare a parent put their child through that? That is the worst thing a child can go through.
I want to be clear.
To lose a parent and then make a joke of it?
No, I want
to
be clear. You're saying there would have been no relief for those kids had their father popped up and said, surprise, let's go to Disneyland. Let's get ice cream.
Oh, my God.
You're telling me there wouldn't have been any relief?
Look, I know what the lady's saying.
I called earlier who said that they would never be able to trust their parent again. And the other woman who said that those children would never leave their parents' side for years. That's a trauma those children would never get over.
I'm here
to tell you that that is not a pleasant trauma to watch. It's not entertainment.
No, it's not.
It's horror.
It's not.
It's pure horror.
But
and for you to capitalize on it,
the fun you have when you tell them that you're joking. Yeah, but the fun you have when you tell them you're joking. That's what I'm trying to tell
that
you.
That is not fun.
And your kids didn't go through that.
That is not fun.
Well, look,
nothing, no aspect about that whole thing is fun. And
what?
You are sick. And shame on you for exploiting children in that manner.
You don't have any footage of that, do you? Was anybody rolling?
Oh, come on! Are you kidding? Are you kidding with this lady?
I'm simply asking if they had a video camera running that.
No, they didn't have a video camera. I don't even have to have her answer for you.
Well, I'd like to send that lady a surprise game version and six packs of tickets. Oh, she hung up.
Yeah. Sounds to me like this show is not going to happen, man. No.
I got great interest from Mo Zucker and Gus Berman and all of them.
I don't know who those cats are, man. I know a Gail Berman and a Jeff Zucker.
No, that wouldn't be them. One of them looks like a dude, anyway.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Wally. Wally, go ahead.
Okay, in my opinion, if that show airs, anybody involved in the production of it should be arrested for child abuse and the parents arrested for child endangerment.
No, we've already checked it out with the police.
Now,
you don't know what you're talking about.
Now it's... Hey, I know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
I was 20 years old, married, in the Marine Corps, when they called me on a morning and told me my father had been killed. You don't know what it felt like then.
And
let me tell you, I never laughed at anybody in the service that got killed with me. Let me tell you that.
You should have seen the way this guy bought it, though. A crate was parachuted down on top of it.
No way it's funny, buddy. No way it's funny.
Come on, pal.
I've watched aircraft fall out of the sky and everything else, and nothing is funny.
Mr. Hester,
death is funny.
Let me ask Mr. Hester, this is Phil Henry. You know, you're hearing the reactions of people, maybe to adults, but to little kids?
Well, Phil, what we're trying to do is show people death isn't all that big of a deal.
It sure as hell is. It's final, bud.
Well, of course
it is. It's the big number 8.
That's
right. It don't ever end.
Well, I just...
All right, hold on for a minute. I got another gentleman on the line. Can you hang on, Wally?
Yeah.
All right, and who is this, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on with Eric Hester.
Yes, sir. I'm a United States Naval veteran from the Korean conflict, and I'm listening to this man talking to
you. You got it, bud.
Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Wally.
Yes, sir. Wally, I'm Lloyd. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I want to say to the gentleman, is the host there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here. You're talking to Mr. Hester.
Hi, Lloyd, this is Eric Hester.
Okay, let me tell you something. I watched a lot of guys get it at the Chosin Reservoir. And when you talk about these guys, you know what I'd like to do to you? I'd like to come down there and tear your head off and relieve myself.
Are you all right, sir?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, I gotta go, Phil. That man's crazy.
Hey, Wally.
All Marines are queer.
Hello?
I think he hung up, Phil. I think you lost your call. Let tell you what. Let's lighten it up a little bit.
Let's lighten it up a little bit. How are you going to do that?
Well, I want to play for you the opening segment from our show, and I think you're going to enjoy it, Phil. I really do. To show you the comedic intent that we have for surprise.
All right, now this show is about kids that are being told that their parents died only to find out later you're kidding.
Right. And I'll have to do the voice of the announcer because we don't have... we're hoping to get Stuttering John because he's so wonderful on The Tonight Show. But here it is. Surprise! NBC Television presents... Surprise! Today, the Garson kids are going to find out that their mother and father were fed horribly into a farming combine. Then a half hour later, they'll sit up looking like mangled corpses, but they're really alive. It's all a part of... Surprise! The new reality show for Vezisa... Oh, God.
Ow.
What's wrong?
Hold on. Help me.
What's wrong, Eric?
Every time I do an announcer voice, I get stuck.
Every time you do an announcer voice, you get stuck?
Yeah. God dang it.
What do you mean stuck?
My jaw is dislocated.
You mean from puking, like the announcer way?
Yeah. Hold on for a minute. No, it's not working.
Well, you're going to have to get unstuck there, dude.
You're going to have to get unstuck there, dude. Don't you think I
know it? Yeah, I know you know it, man. Man. I'm sure. Surprise! I'll tell you, I think it sounds like the most perverse idea I've ever seen in my life. You might as well have somebody... Hold on for a minute. What's going on, man?
Well, someone used to hit me on the back of my head. Excuse me, man. Can you do that?
Yeah, okay.
Ow!
Yeah, oh, God, that's better, Phil.
Woo!
All right, let's try it one more time. Surprise!
Your show sucks, man.
I know.
So there it is. Surprise. It'll be coming this fall. They'll tell the kid their parents are dead, and then it's just a big fat joke. Why not? Death is the next taboo. Here's my prediction. See, death, everybody, they're freaked out by death, but actually death is nothing to freak out about because it's part of life, right? In other words, how could you freak out about death when it's the natural process of life? How can that possibly be something to freak out? The way you die, yeah, I could think of some nicer ways and some less nice ways. But dying, Jim, I mean, you can't avoid it. So maybe in the next few years, somebody's going to get a big brainstorm or have a bowel movement, either one. They're both the same thing over at television land. And they'll come up with an idea about how you can, you know, have some guy sit up in his casket while the old lady's sitting there going, oh, he was a wonderful, wonderful man. And, well, guess what, Mrs. Bottomley? He's not dead. And then you'll see her just go, and a little bit of blood out of the mouth. And, you know, it's... Surprise. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you get a piece of fat and slide off?
The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi, Margaret. I just want you to know that I think it is appalling, and you're making me so livid with your ramping and raging about First Class and how it's only a special place for all of these, you know, famous, quote-unquote, people. What about people like me? I fly all over the world for my job. I earn my upgrades. I earn my points. and I earn also money flying all over. So, yeah,
that's
there
right.
are times I have to pay for it. But what about me working my butt off, staying away from my family and earning points so that I can be bumped up, sleep, snooze a little better, so
well,
on and so forth?
Catherine, have you ever heard of business class? That's a perfectly wonderful place for people like you.
Yeah, but what about a lot of the airlines, you know, don't have a business
class?
That's
right.
It's coach or first.
It's either coach or business class. I mean, sometimes...
Catherine, can I ask you, are you in the entertainment business?
No, I am not.
Well, then what has this got to do with you? What I'm saying is our actor and actress were able at one time to travel in anonymity.
Well, then why don't you, since you're such an actress, why don't you go out with your actors and actresses, your coworkers, and go buy a plane, go rent one, and fly in style that way? There are plenty of CEOs out there doing that. There are plenty of deputy chairmen doing that. Why don't you guys get your money together, since you're multimillionaires, and don't worry about these stewardesses, which are flight attendants, by the way.
No, they are stewardesses, because there was a time, Catherine, back in the days when it was a very classy and wonderfully chic thing to do to fly. We called them stewardesses, and they liked it. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't think we have to go to the extreme. There's a happy medium. You people go back to coach. We reserve first class for what it used to be, quality, class, style, entertainment, and you people can...
You know, I don't like the way you say you people.
Yeah, me.
You know, I really...
You people, that's just...
Well, I'm saying you people who
You're not the President of the United States, okay?
No, I know that. Now, he has his own plane. I'm talking about those of us, our actor... did you see Jennifer Aniston on the Emmys?
Yes.
She didn't get a wink of sleep because she had to wait, because first class was booked on two flights out of New York. Now,
okay, with her money and with Brad Pitt's money and with, you know, however else they make in their $30 million homes or whatever, why can't they? I know how much it costs in order to rent a jet, in order to buy a jet, okay?
The actor and actress brings more to our lives than just entertainment. For many of us, they bring a reason to go on, a reason to crawl on. And I would respectfully submit to you, Catherine, that for what Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston have given you, it is a small thing indeed to say, all right, I'll sit and
approach. What about the small thing that we do for you actors, like doing your accounting?
Well, I'm not an actor.
I'm cleaning your houses, like helping you buy, realty. I mean, it's not just you guys and then all the other people. I mean, we do a lot for you guys. We are able, should be able, to be exposed to the same things you guys are.
So in other words, ironing a shirt is the same as the brilliant performance that Brad Pitt gave us in Legends of the Fall. Are you really trying to say something like that?
Wait a minute, I got to jump in here. Ironing a shirt is ironing a shirt, okay?
No housekeeper flies first class.
I'm not, you're the one who's going on to... No, I'm talking about people, okay? What about the people that promote you, promote Brad, and got Brad to where he is? We are, you know, the people that make him look pretty, that help him buy his house, okay, his realtor, the people that chaperone him around, the people that get him his flight, you know, his tickets, everything else.
Absolutely.
Why doesn't Paramount, why doesn't whomever they decide they want to work with buy a plane, and for the people that work for Paramount can then use the plane?
Catherine, here is a woman, Jennifer Aniston, Emmy Award winner, looking like she had to sit between Vinta and Toby in Coach. Now, Brad Pitt gave us one of the most moving performances of the year in Snatch, and you're trying to tell me...
Well, you forget about Snatch and Legend of the Fall. Good Lord. Can't he sit in coach or, just like the lady said, buy his own plane?
He's not the President of the United States. Oh, so in other words, we're not allowed, the actor and actress is not allowed to be on a commercial jetliner. I find that very exclusionary.
Nobody said that.
Nobody said
you're not allowed to.
We're saying,
I'm just
will you let some...
saying if you guys are so all that and then some, well, then with all of your millions that you make and that you don't need, go fly a plane together.
Have you flown first class, Catherine? Have you, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I have, with my frequent flyer miles, like Catherine.
Did you ever sit next to one of our actors or actresses?
Yes.
I have.
Yeah, I did.
Who?
Well, I sat next to a very nice lady who is appearing in the film Bloodwork with Clint Eastwood, Wanda De Jesus.
I never heard of her. What about you, Catherine?
You never heard of her.
I sat next to Denzel Washington. I sat next to...
And he didn't mind?
No.
Well, I find that, I find that surprising.
Most
why the hell would he
really get on that, they get, you know, chaperoned on the plane first, so before anybody else is even allowed to get on the plane.
No, I want to be clear. Denzel Washington didn't complain.
He did not complain that I saw.
I will tell you this much. I sat next to Steve Guttenberg, and I showed him my press pass, and then he was all right with me. But before that, he was uncomfortable.
Well, that's too bad.
Well, then, you know,
you
people
obviously,
need to know we are all human.
Did you tell Mr. Washington what you did for a living?
I did not bother to... When I go sit in first class, it's not to get the gossip on who is who.
Right, he probably assumed you were a casting director or something.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
When was your last pork chop inhalation? These are the questions I ask myself.